Welcome to the Preaching Matters Podcast. My name is Alan Carr, and I am your host. The Preaching Matters Podcast exists to help preachers become better at what God has called them to do. And in these podcasts, we talk about all matters related to preaching because we believe preaching matters. So thank you for being here today, and I hope the episode is a blessing to you. Now, just up front, if you would, please go to your favorite podcast directory and leave us a positive review. It'll be a help to us. It'll be a great blessing. And that's the best way you can help any podcast. You can reach me at alancarr@gmail.com if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for our future episodes. With that being said, thank you again for being here. Let's go to today's episode and talk about preaching. Hey, welcome back to the Preaching Matters Podcast. This is Alan Carr, and I thank you for being with me today. Appreciate the privilege to come into your place of business, your car, your home, wherever you listen. Thank you for listening to us and being part of the Preaching Matters Podcast family. This is episode number 115, and today we're going to talk about sermon delivery. Isn't it a scary thought? I mean, effective preaching is more than just about what you say. It's also about how you say it. And I believe too many sermons fall short not because of bad content, but because of bad delivery, and that's the truth. And no matter how experienced you are, you should never stop learning. You should always be a student of sermon delivery because there's always room to improve. Now, imagine with me, if you will, that it's Sunday morning. It's about 11:15. The choir has finished singing. The congregational songs have been sung. The special music has been delivered. The offering has been taken. And now it is time for you to stand before the people and preach the Word of God. It is a nerve-wracking moment because you've studied hard, you've prayed hard, you've tried to internalize your message, and you're ready to preach what God said. Now you have an issue. You've got to deliver the sermon God has given you. And no matter how we talk about it or try to soften it up, delivering that sermon is difficult. It is a psychological blow. It's hard on your mind. It's hard on your body because you want to do a good job. You want to deliver your sermon with power. You want your message to be effective, and you want to help the people of God, and you want to see sinners converted to Jesus Christ. We've got to deliver our sermons well if they're going to be effective for the glory of God. So let's talk about sermon delivery. And I want to give you 9 tips to keep in mind as you work on your sermon delivery. And I'm just going to run through these, and it won't take long today, but let's start. Number 1, start fast. The first words you say should be very powerful. They should compel your congregation to want to hear more. They have questions in their mind as you begin speaking. And among those questions are, what are you talking about? Why should I care? How does this impact me? And those are the questions the people in the congregation want to know. And the people sitting out there are only going to give you a minute or so to decide whether they want to hear or think about all the things you're going to have to do. So instead of sliding into your sermon, you got to start with a bang, like a bullet from a gun. Be on target and be ready. And start fast. Come out of the gate with something powerful that will make the people want to pay attention to what you have to say. Number 2, be the same on the platform and off. Now, the fact is, when you step on that platform, your life is in the public eye. People will judge you on everything you say and do. So you need to be the same person on stage and off. Too many pastors fail because their private lives don't line up with their preaching life. Authentic preachers stand on the stage, rip open their chests, and reveal their hearts to the congregation. Everything they say and do comes from deep inside. It's not an act. It's who they are. It's who they are when nobody's watching. So be the same person. Don't transform into someone else by changing your voice or changing the way you move and things of that nature. Just be yourself. Be sure you're real in private and you can be real in public. People are watching. Number three, look the congregation in the eye. Now, whether we know it or not, our eyes are a powerful tool. When we look at people, they look at us, making the message personal. You aren't just speaking into the abyss. You're not preaching to the back wall. You're not preaching to the molding around the top of the ceiling. You're speaking directly to them. When you look at everyone, you connect with no one. But when you focus on one, you connect with everyone. And eye contact signals engagement, confidence, and trust. Trustworthy people look you in the eye. Liars will always look away. Now, this brings me to a thought here. Think about what you carry with you into the pulpit to preach. Me, I take an iPad. On my iPad, there's my sermon manuscript, and I have it with me to remind me of important quotes, of scripture texts, and things of that nature, but I don't read it. I don't want to be up there reading my notes. So I've tried to prepare well. I've tried to internalize my message, and I try just to preach by looking the folk in the eye, and I recommend that to you. And the lesser notes you have, the better you're going to preach. And I wish I had the memory any longer. I don't have it now, but I used to. I wish I still had the memory where I could stand up and preach without notes. I guess I could if I just prayed about it and trusted the Holy Spirit better. So you pray for me on that account. I always seem to preach better when I have very limited or no notes. So that's what I want to get to. I'm 62 years old and my body's falling apart. Even as I record this today, I'm dealing with shingles. They've broken out on my head and face, and they are awful. I don't recommend them for anyone, and I pray you don't get them. They're terrible. So get your shingles vaccine. Do that right away and try to avoid this mess I'm in today. But anyway, I'm old. I'm getting older. My mind is slowing down. I know these things, and I lean too heavily on my notes, and that hurts my eye contact with the congregation. So think about that. So what you want to do is learn to use minimal notes. And if you can get by without using notes, that's fantastic, because you're going to have greater eye contact with the congregation. Number four, vary your pace and tone. You know, variety grips people's interest. Sameness, like the sound of a babbling brook, it just lulls us to sleep. So don't be afraid to raise your voice when you're excited about something. Don't be afraid to make sound effects when telling a story. Whisper tenderly or stand in silence for a few seconds. Moving your voice, like moving your body, captures attention. People need space to think and variety to keep their attention, and a great message wrapped in a monotone voice is a tragedy. So use your voice wisely, limit your notes, and vary your pace and time. So what I'm saying is, don't be just up there sounding like a robot. Don't be a monotone, but be sure you let that voice climb, let it fall, even move that pace up and down, change the tone of your voice, and don't be afraid to use your voice, because God has given you a powerful instrument in the voice he has given you. Cultivate your voice. And if you cultivate it, then you can speak better, you'll be more engaging, and it'll be a help to all those who hear you speak. Number five, speak simply. Don't make people feel like they need a dictionary or a seminary degree to understand what you're talking about. Speak simply. Use the common language of your audience so the good news will be clear for everyone to hear. Now, we learn a lot of words when we study, sometimes these big theological words, and we want to throw them out there. If you use a theological term that people may not understand, be sure you define that term for them. Otherwise, keep your focus, keep your language very simple so that anybody in the congregation can understand. I mean, think about it. If you've got somebody in your congregation who has, say, a fifth grade education, they're going to have a hard time understanding someone who's been through seminary unless we speak on their level. But you say, if we do that, then won't that really bore the folk who have a higher education? No, it will not. They can understand simple terms. And I think it's much better to preach simply than it is to preach over people's heads. You don't want to lose the people when you preach. Number six, invite engagement. And what I mean by that is you want people to be engaged, right? You got to preach great sermons to do that. But after that, you have to give the people permission to interact with you in your sermon and encourage them to do so. So ask questions, encourage them to respond. If necessary, ask people to stand, sit, raise their hands, or make a noise. Call someone out of the congregation to come and help you give a visual representation of what you're saying. Use pictures, use videos, use illustrations, crack a few jokes, tell some stories. In your sermon, encourage people to use more than their ears. Encourage them to use their eyes, their hearts, their hands, and their imaginations. What I'm saying is draw them in, and it'll be a blessing to them. It'll be a help to them if you do that. So to get them engaged in the sermon, they'll feel like they're part of the process. They're not just sitting out there while you kind of yell at them, but they're actually involved. They're a part of this. And so that's what you want to do. Then number seven, show, don't tell. Okay? Don't tell me what to do. Show me. Don't tell me how to be a better dad. Use an illustration to show me how. Don't tell me to read my Bible. Teach me how to do it. Don't tell me to pray more. Tell a story to inspire me to take action. Your application should be more than statement telling people what to do. It should provide examples. So learn to show the people what you're talking about and not just tell them what they should do. Show them what they should do, either by a vivid illustration or in some other way. Help them to know what you're saying. Then number eight, argue with yourself. After you make a point, argue with yourself. Ask yourself a question that some people in the audience are probably thinking. So, for instance, come on, you don't really believe that, do you? Or that's impossible. Or, but what about whatever? Object to controversial elements in your sermon before skeptical people have the time to do so. Then you can give a thoughtful response to their objections. In other words, you can cut off the critics at the knees if you anticipate what they might say about your argument. In my ministry of 40 years, I have had opportunity to deal with a lot of controversial subjects, and this is a tactic I use. I anticipate what the objections will be, and then I argue with myself while I'm preaching so that I can give some logical responses that may answer the critics' questions out of the gate. That way, I don't have to worry about them doing that a little bit later on. Now, I said at the outset, I was going to give you nine. I think I'm going to give you some more. I've already touched on using less notes and varying your voice, but learn to pause to punctuate your sentences. Don't just run all of your words together, right? Sometimes when you're speaking, think about this. Pauses are the punctuation marks of sermons. Sometimes you need commas or brief pauses. Sometimes you need periods, full stops. And sometimes you need ellipses, which are long breaks for suspense. And I've talked about maintaining eye contact, but I will say this, never apologize in your sermon. When preachers apologize for lack of preparation, inadequacy to be preaching, or other reasons, they draw attention to themselves instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not take the attention away from Jesus and focus it on yourself. Try to be as invisible as possible when you preach so the Word of God can stand out, not you. So don't apologize. If you haven't prepared well, people are going to find out soon enough. Don't worry about telling them. They're going to figure it out all on their own. If you're not a great preacher, you ain't got to tell them. It won't be long until they know what kind of preacher you are. Then again, if you don't tell them anything, you might surprise them and yourself. Never apologize in your sermon. Don't apologize for what you're preaching. Don't apologize for yourself. Just preach the Word of God and let God have it. Also, I'd say call for a response, a specific response. Calling for a response to what God has said in His Word is the difference between merely teaching what the Bible says and preaching an anointed message that expects obedience to God. We should look for a response. We should look for people to be saved. We should look for people to live cleaner. We should look for all kinds of things in our preaching, and we should expect these people to pay attention to what we're saying and do what God says. I would also add, preach as though it's your last opportunity. When you step into the pulpit, think about it. It might be the last time you will ever preach. And if it's the last time you will preach, what do you want to say? What do you need to say that the people need to hear? Obviously, you need to give them the gospel. Obviously, you need to plead with them to come to Christ for salvation. Obviously, you should ask the Christians to live for the Lord and bring glory and honor to the name of God. And having this mindset will improve your delivery. If you've got it figured out that this may be the last time you ever see a pulpit, it's going to help you to have more passion when you preach, and it's going to help you to have a more effective delivery. And then I'm just going to give you number nine. I've already given you about 12 or 13, but here's number nine, finish strong. Now, there are two basic reasons why conclusions get weak. Number one, the preacher ran out of time and had to end abruptly. Or number two, they were just lazy and didn't work to write a firm conclusion. So they keep talking in circles until they finally come in for a landing. The best conclusions are neither abrupt nor lazy, but deliberate. They summarize the main points and they drive it home. Like a hammer hitting a nail, you got to hit that central point until you drive it into their brain. Think about that illusion. Think about that imagery right there. You're driving a point home into the brains of your congregation, something that you want them to hear. So be sure you summarize your sermon, cast a vision for a desirable future, challenge the audience to take action, and end with a memorable closing statement. So be sure you finish strong. You want to start fast and finish strong. That's what you got to do. Delivery is something which is peculiar to every one of us. God called us to preach knowing that we had all of these little idiosyncrasies, these oddities that set us apart from everyone else. Some people out there have a real high-pitched voice, and others like me have a deeper voice. Some folk have a hillbilly accent, you know, I can do that. I'm from Alabama, and I live here in the mountains of North Carolina, and I hear a lot of preachers who talk just like this. I don't talk that way, because I have trained my voice to be different. I grew up that way, I was raised that way, and I used to speak that way. But now I don't, because I worked on it, so my delivery would be better. I don't want to come across sounding like I'm a radio announcer. That may be what I sound like to you. Some people have told me, you've got a voice for radio. Well, I have a face for it too, so there you go. Maybe I should be doing radio. I don't know. But God called me to preach. And God called me to preach knowing that I'm timid in front of people, knowing that I have a difficult time standing up and delivering anything verbally before a crowd, or I used to. It's better now. But the more I've done it, the easier it's gotten. But the fact is, when I start to preach, I'm still terrified. I know that I'm about to deliver God's word. And I know that word is important. In fact, for many people, it's the difference between life and death, the difference between heaven and hell, the difference between salvation and lostness. I could go on into that, but you get the point. I know it matters, and I know that it terrifies me. I don't understand why God would call someone like me to preach the word of God, but he has. And my obligation is to do my very best to be the man God called me to be, and to stand up with my own quirks, my own idiosyncrasies, and be the best preacher I can be. That means I've got to use the voice God has given me. I've got to use the talent and ability God has given me. I've got to use the intellect God has given me. And I've got to deliver the most powerful message possible using the tools I've been gifted by the Holy Spirit. And you have to do the same. It doesn't matter how you sound. If you sound like a hillbilly, or if you sound like a radio announcer, or if you sound like anything else, be yourself. Be yourself. If you preach softly, then preach softly, but play your voice like a fine violin. If you're loud, be loud. Just don't blow people's eardrums out, but be loud and vary your voice. Use your voice. If you're timid, keep preaching and the timidity will go away to some degree, and God will help you overcome that and you will be a better preacher for it. If you're boastful, get that in check. If you're proud and arrogant, keep that in check and under wraps. Do not allow that to come out in your preaching. You don't want to be labeled as an arrogant preacher, but you want to be a tender-hearted man who is yielded to God, available for the Spirit's use, and open for God to do in you whatever God chooses to do. And that's what we have to be. We have to be the best we can be for the glory of God, so that we bring honor and glory unto the Lord's name. Now, we're talking about sermon delivery, and I know it scares us to death. I know. I used to have pterodactyls in my stomach every time I would go preach. Now they're just butterflies. Thank God for that. But it still, again, terrifies me. And I want to be the best I can be when I'm in the pulpit. And I find that once I start preaching, the fear goes away. And God replaces that with some kind of joy, a serene sense of peace. in which I'm at liberty to be myself and to preach the message I've prepared and internalized and deliver it to the people of God. We have to do that. That is our calling. That is our duty before God. We are to preach with passion and power the word of God. And we're not to let ourselves get in the way. It's too easy for there to be too much of me in my sermon and too little of Jesus Christ. I've got to get out of the way so he can be seen, like John the Baptist. I must decrease and he must increase. That's what it's all about, right? It's not about people seeing me. It's not about people hearing me, but it's about people seeing Jesus and the face of God in that which I preach from the pulpit. And that's what it should be about for all of us. We don't need the hand claps. We don't need people patting us on the back. We don't need people telling us what a great job we did. Those things are nice, and I know our flesh likes it. I understand that. But what really matters is, did we preach the gospel? Did we reveal Jesus? Did we magnify God? Did we bring glory to the God of the universe? And did we preach his word accurately? If we did that, then we have accomplished what God called us to do. We have preached, and we have done it to the best of our ability, and I promise you, God will honor your sacrifice. So, preacher, when you get up to preach, be yourself. Open your mouth and preach that sermon. Maintain eye contact with those people. Play your voice like a symphony, and let the word of God ring forth so that people can hear what God has said. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. Hope you got some help from that. If you did, let me know. AlanCarr@gmail.com. Be sure and go by and leave us a positive review. You'd be surprised at how much that helps us in the podcast algorithms. We'd love to hear from you, and it'd be a blessing if you would give us that review. Leave a 5-star review if you can, and say something about us. I mean, you can call me an idiot if you want to, as long as you give me a 5-star review. That's all that matters, really, in the algorithms. Doesn't matter what you say, but I want you to say something nice. I mean, you know, I am insecure to a degree, and I need the validation. So, yeah, I'm kidding about that. But go by and leave us a review. And if you have time to email me, please do so. If you've got thoughts about this or any other topic you want to hear discussed, reach out to me at alancarr@gmail.com. So thank you for listening. I appreciate you doing that. And I hope you have a great day in the Lord. And I pray God will bless you. Maybe the next time you deliver a sermon, you'll put some of these things into play, and God will help you be better for his glory. Hey, I appreciate you being here. God bless you all. Please pray for me. And guess what? Preaching matters. It really does. Preaching matters. Talk to you next time. God bless. Thank you for listening today to the Preaching Matters podcast. I hope you learned something. Hope you got some help in your ministry. Please pray until next time and come back next week when we'll have a new episode, Lord willing. Until then, keep preaching, because preaching matters.